But I want to share this morning out of Philippians a little bit, chapter 1, verse 12. And just briefly, you know, I want to go through some of the aspects of missions for me in my personal life and how God has called me to do this. And it's an incredible opportunity, but yet so humbling because I never really saw myself doing this 5, 6 years ago. I mean, 10 years ago, I was not even in ministry full time. And right now to be doing this is just a tremendous blessing. But Paul here in Philippians, and this is very time in this passage. Pastor Doug went as far as verse 11 in chapter 1. And when we get to verse 12, Paul is sharing with the church in Philippi, and he's saying, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. I want you to know, first of all, he's giving a testimony, that what has happened to me, my circumstances, my imprisonment, my persecutions, all the things that I go through, everything that's going on in my life, and then the third part of the verse, has really served to advance the gospel. So when you read in the Bible, Romans 8:28, everything works for good, together for good for those who love Christ, this is a reality. And you know, Paul is saying, I am a missionary. I am sending letters. I am founding churches in by grace God, planting churches all over. But whatever is going on in my life is just serving to advance the gospel. And when I see this, you know, I will title this verse, The Progress of the Gospel. And we are committed to the progress of the gospel in this congregation through one way or another. You know, whether the Christian school, missions, the missionaries that we support all over the world, in Asia, in Africa, you know, and now missions to Mexico and the local missions here in the area. We are committed to the progress of the gospel, Bible studies, discipleship, worshiping here. Everything that we do is taking us to deepen more in the Word and to train people to the ways in which God wants them to work and to walk. And, you know, Paul here in this letter, he didn't see himself as a captive man who had no freedom. To the contrary, these around Paul were captive to hearing the gospel about Jesus Christ. If you read with me in verse 13, it says, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So there is success in this proclamation of the gospel, whether in jail or by the people who is being encouraged by Paul. And Paul saw it necessary for these men to hear the gospel, the men around him, because he had the grace, by the grace of God, he had the freedom that these men, the soldiers that were around him, needed in their own lives. So what I see here is, for Paul, the circumstances didn't matter. Paul was committed to one thing only, proclaim Jesus and the gospel with those that God put in his life. And that's really something that we have to have in our hearts, and we have to say, God, where have you placed me? What is your will for my life? His will is for us to proclaim him, to go forth, to make disciples, whether in our neighborhood, inside our church, in our communities, even outside in other countries. That's what God is expecting us, what he's actually sending us to do. And we have a responsibility. Now, for me, you know, this aspect of missions started when I was beginning to see the need here in Grand County to have a Hispanic church, you know, a ministry where we can minister to our own culture and some of the people that were here seeking for answers. We had a Bible study, and God opened up doors to Winter Park Christian Church. After 7 months of teaching and doing it on the side and kind of being really busy, I told Pastor Doug, I said, you need to come up with someone who leads us. And he was always praying and saying, I think within the little congregation you'll find somebody who will do it. And obviously he had in his heart that him and the elders have seen this vision where I will start. And I felt like I wasn't capable of doing it. But while we were praying and waiting on the Lord, God really laid on my heart to do it. And we went back to Mexico, my wife and I, to get a religious visa to work in this church full-time or at least part-time. And as we went down there, we spent 5 months in the area where I grew up. I went back, and some of the pastors over there, they heard that we were going back because I was coming to to work in ministry full time. And they wanted it to hear about this, so they kind of had us over in their houses, and they had us over in their churches preaching. And we made friends with these pastors. There are 6 churches right now that meet on that county. And we're actually going to 2 other churches in another county right now. So it's 8 churches that we're ministering down there, and God has opened up doors for us. But while we were down there, I noticed that there was a lot of division among the pastors, a lot of fights. And they felt like the other congregations in towns were like a threat to their ministries. And so I will go one Sunday to one church and preach, and they will invite me to another place on another Sunday and preach. And when I come back to the previous church, the pastor will ask, "Where were you on Sunday? We didn't see you." I said, "Well, I went over there with Pastor such and such to preach. They invited me over there, and I was able to present something." And they will be like jealous about it and just fighting. And I started praying and saying, "God, I've seen how Pastor Doug meets in Grand County with the pastors, and he's uniting the churches in the area for your kingdom. And they need somebody like that here. Somebody who tells them that it's only one church proclaiming your name all over the world. And we have different faces and different ideas about how to doctrine and minister people. But I want to pray for them, and I want to intercede." And I had it on my heart that God will do something for these men. We came back to America 5 months later, and we spent 4 years here without being able to go back to Mexico. And throughout this time, I was always praying and calling the pastors and making sure that they were encouraged and they were my friends. But I had something on my heart that God had placed. And I was praying for a guy, or 2 guys in particular, to go and minister down in Mexico. And I had this idea, this vision of putting a program together where we will meet in a neutral place, maybe a community center, and I will somehow, you know, be able to support whoever was going. And I was praying for a couple guys in particular that I had heard, Hispanic guys, and I was saying, "God, take these men and let's have a conference. Let's bring all the churches together and let's preach about unity and vision to reach the souls of this community." So, you know, I was praying, and one trip that our missionary, Stephen Kurt, made to our church, I talked to him about this, and he said, "You know, I'd be willing to go." And I say, "Praise the Lord. He speaks Spanish. I'm able to translate whatever he cannot preach. And I know the pastor." So I started doing phone calls, and I started saying, "God, take us down there." And 2 years later, God opened up doors, you know, and we are getting ready to go. Greg Gosner is going. Pete Hammond is going. Jason Stigers is going. And as we're getting ready to leave on the previous day, Stephen Kurt calls and he says, "I cannot go. My wife is sick. I'm not going to be able to preach down there." So we had everything ready. We went down there and I told the pastors, "Well, we don't have a preacher." And they say, "Why don't you share with us?" And I felt so intimidated. I mean, these pastors older than me, you know, they've been working hard with less resources than what I have. But God was able to use what we had in our hearts, you know, and to minister to people. I remember Pete and Jason the first night sharing their testimony. And I remember Greg the next night, the second night on the conference, sharing his testimony. And then I presented a message, the message that I had in my word. And, you know, people responded to the message, and the pastors were joyful and encouraged, and there was a relationship beginning to take place. Now we have these combined services, and it's a great blessing. And what I see is the gospel is going to go forth, not because of me or my ability. It's going to be accomplished because God is behind his vision, his gospel, and God is actually the one who's producing in people to receive the good news and to walk in them. Now, the thing that we need to do is we need to trust in God and walk in faith. And we need to say, "God, if you are with me, who can be against me?" Now, there are challenges and struggles, but we need to trust that God has called us to go. And it doesn't matter where we are in our faith. Remember, if you are a Christian, you've been justified by faith. And yet, you are in the process of sanctification, but in the meantime, God is actually already giving you something for you to testify to other people in the place where you are. If you're wondering when are you going to be ready enough to proclaim the gospel, you are wasting your time. Because we have already a testimony in our own life. And then we have His Word, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit guiding us, so we need to go forth and proclaim His name. And you know, I want to encourage you with this. If God uses me to some extent, how much more can He do with you? Honestly. I mean, that's really, for me, that's been a challenge. It's been like, the first time I went there and you know, I took this group and I honestly cried and I said, God, what a blessing that I can come back to my country and encourage these brothers and sisters financially with testimonies. You know, I believe that whatever God is doing in my life, He did it for a reason. And I want to use my resources to serve God and to enlarge the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's the call that we have as Christians. You see, the first thing I want you to know, brothers, and Paul is giving a testimony of the progress of the gospel through his imprisonment. And this is an encouragement, first of all, to the church. Paul is always willing to share what God is doing in his life to encourage others. So when I go down to Mexico, that's what I do. I share what God has been doing with me up here. And I say, you know, when I was 13 years old, 15 years old, 20 years old, I never saw myself doing what I'm doing right now. But God was able. And Paul is sharing the same thing all over through the book of Acts. He's very encouraged by the situation that he's facing, although he's in prison. And he's encouraging his readers to see that God is bringing people to his kingdom and fulfilling his purpose. We saw a few weeks ago that Paul is saying, I am sure, in verse 6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He trusts in God. He knows God is at work. And he knows that God is at work in his own life. In Psalm 138, verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. And let me tell you, when you submit to God, and when you trust in him, and when you say, God, here I am, use me, God will fulfill his purpose in you. You know, if you're here this morning and you say, what should I do? Well, I mean, I want to serve. Pray to the Lord. Come to church, you know, talk to Pastor Doug, talk to one of the elders and say, what can I get involved in? Let me tell you, the fields are wide. And we know, very often, we know what God is calling us to do, but sometimes we're afraid, hesitant to do what God is calling us to do. The ways in which the enemy intends to bring defeat, and I'm talking about Paul's imprisonment, God in his sovereign power works out to bring victory. Paul was in jail now. Seems like the missions that he was doing and everything that God had called him to do, is everything stopped. Everything's done. But not for Paul. Paul is actually right on the center of the will of the Lord. And he said, you know, here I am. There's a purpose and a reason for it. I'm going to proclaim his name. I'm going to do it because God has given me, God has charged in me to proclaim the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it. Because it is the power of God to transform, to save the Jew and the Gentile, whoever believes in it. So God will keep us growing, and he will keep us in victory. That's what we see here. The progress of the gospel, you know, it's a miracle. Was a miracle in the beginning of the foundation of the church 2,000 years ago. It's been a miracle throughout history. And actually, it will be a miracle tomorrow if we continue to do this. It's not about our strength. It's not about our ability. It's about trusting in Jesus Christ. I want to take you to the book of Matthew. I want to read the Great Commission passage to you in Matthew 28. And you know, I was looking at this, and this is something so powerful, because it depicts who we are and how God can do so many things throughout us. And this is right after Jesus has resurrected. He appeared to the disciples and he calls them out to Galilee. And in verse 16, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. They worshiped the Lord. He's resurrected. He's God incarnate. He's got the power. And then in verse 18, right there, after worship, it says, but some doubted. Some of these disciples doubted Jesus. And then after that, Jesus says, he came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I want you to see something here. These guys are seeing Jesus resurrected. They saw the resurrection. What a powerful miracle. But some of them still doubted. You go through the book of Acts, and in Acts 17, verse 6, I believe, it says that this man shook the world upside down. Just a few years later, these doubting men were used mightily by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what you see here is these were real people with real struggles and real challenges like the ones we have. In fact, Peter was a coward. You know, he always wanted to do things his own way in the flesh, but Jesus was always telling him, you're acting on the flesh, Peter. Some of the other disciples were fighting for authority. This is when you come back in your kingdom, can we sit at your right or your left? And Jesus had to talk to them about these issues that they were facing. Many of them were fearful. Many of them were doubters and unfaithful to the Lord. But let me tell you, when God is at work, the progress of the gospel will continue. And that's what we rely on. In the power of God. The progress of the gospel through Paul's imprisonment became a teaching opportunity. A teaching moment right there. In the passage that we're reading in Philippians. You know, often God's ways are a mystery. And He works in ways that we don't expect. And sometimes in ways that we don't understand. Why do we face trouble when we are doing the will of the Lord? If God is sending us to proclaim His name, why do we encounter so much opposition to accomplish His purpose? I don't know if you heard the news this morning. Over 37 people killed in Egypt this morning on Palm Sunday, you know, 9, 10, 12 hours ago. A couple terrorist attacks in churches, you know, Alexandria and Cairo. And there's opposition for the gospel. People will always oppose the gospel, but you know what we see in the Bible is we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. When I go to Mexico, I know that we're facing opposition. I know that the cartel is oppressing the communities, the cartel is bringing fear to the churches, but I know that God will use us. And you know, it's scary when we're out there and we know that the cartel is present and we know that everybody's aware of it and everybody's kind of scared to talk against it. But we know that we're going in the name of Jesus Christ and we're praying that God will open up doors and that He will bring unity and that more people, whether because they want to see some Americans or some students or somebody coming from the United States, they go to church and they hear the gospel and somehow something happens to their life that day and that they will continue to go. We as Christians will always face challenges and even persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is talking to Timothy in verse 10. And he says, you, Timothy, however, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, and my steadfastness. Paul was the leader. Timothy was the disciple. And Timothy had followed Paul in many things. But he continues on in verse 11 and he says, my persecutions, you have followed those. My sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul was always talking about the situations that he encountered as a Christian. And he says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. If we are doing the will of the Lord, we need to be prepared for the persecution and the attack and the antagonism that comes against Christianity. Real ministry and real missions requires commitment, requires character from the life of the believer. A commitment that says, you know, I will go forth, Lord, to whatever you send me. If you're going to teach a Bible study, if you're going to pray to the Lord and say, Lord, open up doors to minister my neighbor. Open up doors to talk to my family. Open up doors to talk to my parents, maybe to my kids that are walking away from you. When you commit yourself to the Lord, you will encounter opposition. But be faithful. Because very often, you are the only representation of Jesus Christ for these people that is around you. For Paul, he was the representation of Christ in that prison. And he was proclaiming Christ. And people were coming to the Lord. God's ways are higher than our ways. And when we ask why, what's going on, how come this is taking place, sometimes we don't know why we're asking these things. Paul could have asked, God, why am I in prison if I'm serving you? In Isaiah 55, the word of God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So as God is using us to proclaim His name and present the ministry of reconciliation, He's also changing us, shaping us, transforming us, molding us in that process of sanctification. So, you know, you can see Paul being used by God, but in the same way, Paul is being more patient. He's being more trusting in the Lord. He's being shaped by Jesus Christ himself. And God, you know, through missions and through serving other people, he will break us at times. And he will teach us that we need to be changed and transformed more. But we rejoice that God is at work. In his sovereignty, God is at work. And Paul's imprisonment became an opportunity for him to write these letters, for him to address the churches, for him to minister other people in places where he could have not been before this. And then the progress of the gospel was always moving forward. He says, remember the verse, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me, he's talking about the imprisonment that is laid out in verse 13 and 14. So he impresses to the church that in God's sovereignty, what seems to be a challenge or even defeat is the way of God to make his kingdom known. His kingdom is moving forward. The word of God cannot be imprisoned. And his kingdom cannot be stopped. We need to rest in that. You know, these attacks that are going on all around the world against Christianity, they will not stop Christianity. Amen? They will not stop the word of the Lord. They will not stop the gospel from growing. And if persecution takes place in this nation, we are ready to go forth. In fact, the kingdom of God is always growing. And we rest in that. The purpose of the Lord cannot be frustrated. The purpose of God cannot be frustrated. God in his sovereignty is too wise to make a mistake regarding where or how he sends us. From the moment Paul was arrested in Jerusalem to the many years that he spent in prison in Caesarea or how he, you know, all the time that took him to get to Rome, it seems like defeat. It seems like he's lost over there in the progress of the gospel. But he writes, it has really served to advance the gospel. It has served to advance the gospel. Let me ask you this morning, in what areas your struggles, your circumstances, your challenges, even sickness that you may have in your life, have served to advance the gospel around your life? And are you trusting the Lord? Are you going? Are you taking the responsibility to share the gospel with other people that is needed right now around your life? Trust in him. Don't wait. Don't wait till you retire. Don't wait till you have a better day or a better time or more money. The time is now to proclaim Jesus Christ. Let me finish here this morning with the scripture in the book of Acts. And this is powerful because we see in the book of Acts when Paul is writing these letters in chapter 28, verse 30, he says that the Bible says that he lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. So he was there at his own expense. And he welcomed all who came to him. He had freedom. And he was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. You think being in prison would stop Paul from preaching? No. He was doing it with boldness and without hindrance. And really, this tells us that there's no hindrance for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So whatever we do, we rejoice in Christ and we acknowledge that he's Lord, and he's called us. And if he called us, he ordained us, he will sustain us. Amen? Let's pray to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the blessing that we have as Christians to go forth. And Lord, with the resources that you have given us, Lord, justification, sanctification, Lord, holiness, boldness, Lord, the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, we know that we are able to present your word and your message to people out there. Lord, we know that there are so many people in chains, bounded to sin, to condemnation in darkness. But Lord, we have the freedom through your Spirit. Give us boldness and give us the willing heart to go forth and be compassionate in the needs of other people, in their situations. And Lord, to share with them how you are the only way of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, for this opportunity. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen.